gather here this Sunday morning on a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with during this season of Lent. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to encounter the Spirit this day. Bible study. I just want to remind those that have joined us already and those that might want to join us in the future, that our Lenten study this week is session 3 in the study of the walk. We'll be looking at the spiritual discipline of serving this week. So I encourage you to read in advance that chapter and join with me at 6:30 p.m. this Wednesday on Facebook Live for our time of study. For those that were able to come in and are in person this morning, as you walked in the door, you saw a big pile of blankets. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to our church family who have been bringing items for our missions gathering for the month of March. We look forward to being able to distribute those blankets and afghans and throws to many of the nursing homes, even the hospice home in our community in the coming weeks. But if you have not brought a blanket yet and you still want to, next Sunday. Next Sunday is the deadline. So make sure you pick one up this week, order one. You can bring it by the church office during the week or bring it next Sunday for our time of worship and drop it out of the container right outside our lower door underneath the awning. And thank you again in advance. We have been blessed by your generosity over the last couple months with our many missions collections. You'll hear about one of those next week, about our next mission collection during the month of April. But thank you for reaching out to the community during this time of need. Last but not least, if you look at your bulletin this morning, you will notice the update on how our parking lot fund is coming. And I want to say thank you in advance for all your donations towards the parking lot. You'll hear more details about how that process is going this afternoon at 5 o'clock at a roundtable meeting. But we have raised over $66,000 towards our $115,000 goal, which we want to say thank you. We also had $10,000 additionally pledged, so we're right around $76,000 that we will have promised. Our goal was by March 31st to have most, if not all, the donations in or pledges made. And we prefer to have the donations in because that helps us go forward. Contract. But I encourage, if you want more details about that, come to our roundtable meeting this evening at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. You'll hear more details about it. Many of the items that we're voting on center around our moving forward with the parking lot. We are here to gather together and to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the collected body of Christ. So let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship. Let us sing praise to the Lord. Let us lift prayers to our God. And let's reflect on His worship this morning.
I have to say amen to what David said. It is so good to see faces and people here. It gets lonely up here singing to an empty sanctuary. And so, welcome again. And thank you for being here. I want you to stand and sing with us. I change my heart, oh God. Stand and let's worship together. Mm-hmm.
scripture reading comes from Psalm 51, reading verses 1 through 12 this morning. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain it. Listen to those words. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's why we gather here. That's why we worship. That's why we come to God, is for Him to create us, make us new. And as we are in the season of Lent, may we be made new, not just this day, but every day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. King of all the earth, creator of the universe, holy triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. You are merciful and full of loving kindness and great compassion. You have washed us thoroughly from our wickedness and cleansed us from our sin. Against you alone have we sinned, and to you alone do we look for restoration. Who is like our God, the one who takes away the iniquity of his people, the one who gives them clean hearts and right spirits? We will rejoice, for your grace, O Lord, has overflowed for us. This is our God, the Holy One. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and offer him the sacrifice of praise this day and every day. We lift this prayer to the one who is and is to come, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is There Is a Fountain. Let's stand and worship.
Thank you.
morning. I want to point out and focus on our Holy Week here at First Baptist Elon. Starting next week, the Christian church across the world will celebrate Holy Week, beginning with Palm Sunday on March 28th and concluding with Resurrection Sunday on April 4th. Christians across the world will gather for celebrations of worship, remembering Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, his last meal with the disciples at the Last Supper, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion on the cross, and then ultimately the celebration of his resurrection and the empty tomb. Here at First Baptist Elon, we want you to join us for our time of celebration and the time of remembering next week, starting with Palm Sunday. Next Sunday, on Palm Sunday on March 28th, we will have a wonderful time of worship celebration next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. that will include multiple musical pieces that our musicians will be bringing forth for that time. So we want to encourage church members either to come join us in person here in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or you can watch that service on Facebook Live as well. That will be next Sunday on Palm Sunday. On Thursday, April 1st, which is Maundy Thursday, where we're called to remember Jesus' Last Supper, we will be having a virtual worship service that night at 7 p.m. Now, that service will be on Facebook Live, and it will be also distributed in DVDs as well. But for Maundy Thursday, we want to encourage our church family to come by, starting this Monday, to pick up the communion elements for that service. That service is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit unique. But we want to encourage you to watch. If you watch this, we want to encourage you to sit around your kitchen table. I don't want you to sit in your comfy chair. I don't want you to sit on your comfortable couch, which is our tendency. But for that service, let's gather literally around the table for Maundy Thursday. On Good Friday, which is April 2nd, we will be participating in a community virtual worship service. And what I mean by that is this. Individuals from our congregation have recorded scripture readings and reflections, also from churches, First United Methodist Church of Elon Community Church as well. They've also had church members record readings. And on Good Friday, First Methodist of Elon is putting together a kind of a Good Friday reflections of the cross, kind of the stations of the cross. Through looking at artwork, there will be some music, there will be readings from all these church members, and we want you to take some time on Good Friday. It'll be available starting that Friday morning early on. We send you the link out to our church members so you can pull that link up. It's going to be on YouTube, but we're also going to make that link available on our Facebook page as well. But we'll send it out for anybody who wants to take time on Good Friday just to reflect on this week, reflect on Holy Week and all the pieces of it that brings together this wonderful emotional moment. Then next on Resurrection Sunday, April 4th, we're going to have many worship opportunities for our church family. It begins at 7 a.m. on Resurrection Sunday morning, weather permitting, on Easter Sunday. We are going to gather at 7 a.m. in our upper lot here at First Baptist Elon. That will be a community sunrise service up there. Said if the weather permits, and we're praying that it will. But we want to encourage you to come at 7 a.m. We'll have music. We'll have a reflection time. We'll socially space out upstairs in our upper lot here at First Baptist Elon. But it'll be a time to gather as a community to remember the celebration of the empty tomb. Following that service at 7 a.m., a little bit later in the morning, we'll have two worship services. We'll have an outside worship service upstairs in the upper parking lot at 9:30. And then we'll have our inside worship service that Sunday at 11 a.m. We want you to join us for as many of those services that you want to join us for. But it will be a time of celebration on Resurrection Sunday. You can find all those details that I just mentioned in your newsletter, any printout, or you can give you the details of those times. But next week will be the beginning of Holy Week, probably the holiest time in the Christian calendar. So let's remember what it is by celebrating next Sunday and then celebrating again on Resurrection Sunday. Now at this time, I'll invite Suzanne Ruth to come forward for our offertory prayer.
Thank you also for the many blessings.
Susan. Susan Gay and Burke for a beautiful special music time this morning. As we prepare to go to God's Word once again and prepare for how the Spirit is going to move during our sermon this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer this day and lift up confession to Him this day. Good and gracious God, though You have planted us in fruitful ground, we have often failed to produce the fruits of Your Spirit. Though You care for us as a loving gardener would, and tend to us with a loving Father's touch, sometimes we stand barren in fruitful ground. Forgive us, Father, for the things that we have done and the things we have left undone that have caused us to wither. For the sin of stubbornness and short-sightedness, Father, forgive us, Lord. For the sin of selfishness and pride, forgive us, Lord. For the sin of ingratitude and entitlement, forgive us, Lord. For the other sins that we lift up to You in silence this day, forgive us, Lord. Merciful God, help us to grow into the promise of Your fruitfulness and to have courage in the wilderness of this season of Lent. This is the prayer we lift up as a church body and individuals this day. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Again, we want to thank you and welcome you to worship this morning. We are excited that you have gathered to join us in person this day. Those that have gathered to join us via Facebook Live this morning, we are thankful for the opportunity to participate in worship. Sometimes over the last couple weeks, it felt like we were just leading worship and not having anyone participate with us, but just sitting here this morning in the first 20 minutes of this worship service, I could tell that not just those here, but those that have been gathering with us through Facebook Live the last couple weeks are participating in worship. And that's what we're called to do. This season of Lent for the Christian church is a time of participating. It's a time of individual participating, but also corporate participating. We as individuals are called to reflect on our life, our spiritual walk with God. But our church is challenged to do the exact same thing. How are we walking with the Lord? What changes do we need to make during this time as we seek to encounter once again the risen Lord at the empty tomb? So this morning, we're going to return to an item that I talked about for quite a few Sundays in a row earlier this year. We're going to talk about fruit again. Now, you might be thinking I might be obsessed with fruit, and I do like fruit, but I'm not obsessed with it, but today's fruit that we're going to talk about has been the fruit of the Spirit that we used in our sermon series earlier this year. It's something that each of us as a Christian has turned to. And also a fruit that each of us as Christians, especially during the season of Lent, are called to partake in once again. This morning we're going to talk about the fruit of repentance. Now I just want to share a story from history to highlight the importance of repentance this morning. A story goes that King Frederick II, the King of Prussia, who ruled during the 18th century, once visited one of the prisons in the town of Berlin. They had multiple prisons there, but he was visiting one of these prisons. As he arrived and walked down the corridors of this prison, all the inmates that were gathered there tried to come to the gate and get to as close to him as possible and tried to convince the king that they were being unjustly imprisoned, that they didn't deserve to be there. All the inmates except one. You see, there was an inmate sitting in the corner of one of the cells that rushed up to the king. He, on the other hand, just sat there. And he sat there sullen. He sat there sorry. And he just sat there, and King Frederick noticed him and asked the guardsman to open the cell gate for him to get in to have an encounter with this inmate. So he went to the inmate and he said, you know, sir, why are you here? What has brought you to be in prison here in Berlin? The inmate said, I committed armed robbery, Your Honor. King Frederick thought a little bit, and he asked, well, were you guilty? Do you deserve to be here? And the prisoner responded, yes, sir. I entirely deserve the punishment that I am going through and facing. The king immediately turned to the guard that had opened the gate for him and said, please unlock this man. Unlock the chains that are around his feet. Release this guilty man. I don't want him to corrupt all these other innocent men that are in here. You see, in an instant, the one prisoner discovered the reward of true repentance. As followers of Christ, we are called to maintain an attitude of repentance. We are called to return to this fruit regularly. And as we do, God builds holiness within us. You see, holiness is the earthly reward of true repentance. Our attitude of confession combined with the determination to change for the better allows this transformation to take place. But unfortunately, repentance is often confused with something else. It's often confused. You see, remorse is the strong feeling of guilt and regret, just the feelings, while repentance is remorse in action. Repentance is when we feel that guilt and regret and when it compels us to make a change. As we as Christians are in the season of Lent, let us look at the fruit of repentance with a keener sense, a keener set of eyes as we look at what Jesus, the risen Lord, said about this important fruit. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9 this morning. The words will be displayed behind me in just a moment on our worship screens behind you. If you're home, I encourage you to turn your Bibles with me as well. And as you turn to this passage, let's remember what Jesus said about repentance throughout his ministry on earth. It wasn't like something he preached on once and he just left it behind for his years of ministry. From the very beginning, early on in his ministry, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That was one of the first messages he ever preached in his ministry here on earth. But at the end of his ministry on earth, the beginning, then at the end, in the Gospel of Luke, he says this, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, if Jesus is talking about repentance at the beginning of his ministry, and then at his end, the end of his ministry, we can be reminded and we can be assured that it was important, that it was truly important. And it's not just the beginning, it's not just the end. This morning, we're going to read a passage where he talks about it in the middle. Again, reading from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 this morning. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans, because they suffered this way, these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I have been coming to look for fruit on the fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil in which it's planted? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, then cut it down. You see, Jesus is speaking two messages, two important messages about repentance in these nine short verses. Now, remembering that repentance is the gateway to holiness, the first thing he reminds us of is this: unless we partake of this fruit, the fruit of repentance, we ultimately will perish. He shares two hints in this passage, but that's the first one. There are some, he says, that are traveling with him. Now, we can assume probably that he's traveling towards Jerusalem, and some are going with him, his disciples, of course, some of his other followers. So there were some that were traveling with him. And we're not sure who exactly shares this story, but a few that are traveling with him, his close followers, share that had put to death some Galileans while they were making sacrifices in the temple. That's what those first couple verses are talking about. Now, from history, we know that Pilate did this more than once. He did this actually on multiple occasions, unfortunately. However, this specific occasion that Jesus is referencing, we don't know any of the other details other than what Scripture tells us. Underlying this catastrophe, however, that fell on these Galileans is an underlying thought, a thought that we oftentimes don't think about right now, at least we don't speak about it out loud, but maybe we still think about it in our hearts sometimes. This thought that was going on in this time period was the fact that if a catastrophe happened to someone, if something bad happened to someone, it was because they deserved it. It was because of the sin that was in their life. So those who had catastrophes happen to them, it's obviously something they did. We just think about the Old Testament story about Job. Remember that story of all the awful things that were happening to him? Scripture says that Job was a faithful man, but his friends that came to visit him, and I use friends in quotation marks this morning because they weren't great friends, they actually thought Job deserved what he got. He must have done something. He must have been sinful. So this underlying thought is streaming through that Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of Luke. This belief was particularly true for the Pharisees, who were strict adherents to the law. And they believed this, that if bad things happen, you brought it on yourself. If bad things happen, you did that deserved it. Now, Jesus' rebuke here, this may seem a little out of place, but his rebuke is actually after this underlying thought that existed in Scripture, that existed in that time period. But he shares the catastrophe of the Tower of Siloam as a comparison and saying, well, what about them? What about these 18 people that were killed? Do you suppose that those 18 people, when the Tower of Siloam fell on top of them and killed them, do you think they were worse off than anybody else in Jerusalem? That's one of those questions that someone asks, and they already know the answer to. They already know where your mind is going, but you know where he wants their minds to go. So those 18 people were worse off than anybody that's in Jerusalem? You see, in both cases, Jesus warned his that these thoughts, these underlying ideas about tragedies are not always the result of sin. Not always. Whether a person is killed in a tragic accident or miraculously survives is not a measure of how righteous that person is or how righteous the people around them are. Instead, we all, as humans, we all are eventually going to die. Eventually, our time will run out on this earth. We don't know when the time, we don't know the day, but that's just part of the human condition. But not everyone has to stay dead. Not everyone has to stay dead. And that's where Jesus turns the corner. That's where he begins their minds wondering, and then all of a sudden he turns it back in a different direction. He says, This is where he turns to that fruit of repentance. Unless you repent, you too will perish. Now, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about eternal death. He's talking about eternity. It changes the perspective on the passage. Can you imagine standing in the crowd with Jesus that day as he's sharing this story? And then he says, you too will perish. I can imagine he's probably maybe smiling as he says that. Because he knows the full truth. He knows what's coming. He knows his role in changing what they were going to be able to experience. A straightforward, simple statement, yet with underlying power and authority. You see, when we repent, when we come to God, we return to the Lord. When we repent, think about repenting or saying you're sorry or asking for forgiveness in a relationship you have with your loved one or a family member or a friend or a neighbor. What does that do? That restores relationship. I am sorry. Please forgive me. You're mending wounds. And the same is true with our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we return to him, we are mending that relationship. When we repent, the gateway of holiness all of a sudden is opened up to us. Opportunity is there for our life to be changed by the one who changed our life in a way that we could possibly imagine. Our present and ultimate destination, eternity, lies with our repenting heart. It's not here, but it's here. But Jesus didn't stop there. Whirling for those people that were gathering that day, that mind kept whirling as he told this story about repentance. You see, in this parable about the fig tree, Jesus Christ is revealing that he is interceding on our behalf. How dare we come to God individually? We needed someone there to guide us. We needed someone there to open the door for this opportunity of forgiveness and repentance. It wasn't written in the law. It was through Jesus Christ. So he provided a visual element. He provided a parable and did to help his followers understand the importance and the opportunity to repent. As we read this short parable, and oftentimes we can get lost in the stories. Well, who does this person represent? What does this represent? Well, I'm going to break it down for you from the outset. In this story, the owner of the vineyard is God, our Heavenly Father. In this story, the other individual that he goes to, some call it the vine dresser or the man that's there to tend the garden, that individual is Jesus Christ. In this story, the plant that is planted, the fig tree itself, is the nation of Israel, but this is us. This is where we come into the story. You've got the owner who planted the tree. You've got us being planted by God. You've got Jesus Christ as the vine dresser, and the fruit on the tree, the fruit on that fig tree that wasn't growing, that's the fruit of repentance. You know, the owner, God, plants us, and he desires for us to produce fruit. You know, this is not an annual thing. It talks about here annually every year, but this is, he plants us, and he desires for us to return to him through repentance. However, 3 years after maturity, however many years you want to say it, the tree remains barren. We've been planted in the right ground, but we still do not produce fruit. And our Heavenly Father God wants to cut us down. Wants to cut us down and dispose of us because, you know what? We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. The new trees that are around us should be providing fruit, but we're not growing. Cut us down. Cut us down. Get rid of it. But the vine dresser, the man that the owner is talking give up on this tree. He's saying, don't give up on us. Don't give up on the tree. Don't give up on it. Let me nurture it. Let me put fertilizer around it. Let me provide the other opportunities for it to grow. Don't give up on it. Do you know when he did that? He did that when we celebrate Holy Week. He did that when he went to the cross for us. That's him saying, don't give up on the tree. Jesus steps in for us. He intercedes for us in hopes of us producing the fruit that we're called to produce and hopefully partaking of that fruit of repentance that we're all called to go to. Our God provides the fertilizer that we need in salvation for us to grow. Everything that we could possibly need, he has provided for us. His word contains the nutrients that we need. We're talking about Wednesday nights during our Lent study, all the spiritual disciplines that help us nurture and fertilize us so we can grow and become the person God wants us to. Under his care, his people, we should be responding with the fruit of repentance. And that fruit of repentance leads to the big table of fruit that we had on the communion table just a couple weeks ago. However, unfortunately, many of us never convert with our heart. We may know it in our head, but it's talking about a heart change. You know, the heart change doesn't take place just by coming to church on Sunday morning. It doesn't change. Our heart change doesn't come by being dipped in the baptismal pool. A heart change doesn't take place when we attend regular church activities. You see, our heart change is between us and God, with Jesus being there to open the door. That's what we're challenged to do. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, for the rest of our lives. You know, this grace is not only, we don't only get the grace of Jesus for 1 year. That's what it shares in the parable. We don't know how long. We don't know how long we have that opportunity for grace and mercy. All we do know is that Jesus Christ will come back again at some point. Or our days will come to an end. His intercession for us allows us time to repent. It allows us to reflect on us, to feel remorse for our sins, and to confess our need for Christ and put it into action. That's true repentance. Repentance is there for us because Jesus Christ interceded on our behalf. Did we deserve it? No. But just like any opportunity, God saw an opportunity. Jesus saw an opportunity to make a change for everyone. And he stepped in. He wants us to make our relationship with God right. He wants us to turn to him. He wants to heal the brokenness, the wounds that we might have, the gap that separates us from him. And the way he does that is through repentance. As we gather here this Sunday, on the fifth Sunday of Lent, how do we respond to that opportunity to partake in the fruit of repentance? What do our actions say? What do our actions say during this time? Does our heart reflect this change that we ultimately desire? Or does our actions and our words reflect something else? Maybe a statement to Jesus like, what did you do, what you did for me on the cross? It meant something, maybe a little bit, but not so much. Or do our actions and our words say to Jesus, oh, what my sin does doesn't really affect anybody else, so it really doesn't matter. Or do our actions and our words even say this, Jesus, you deserved it. Those are powerful words. spoken from our mouth, but they are reflected in our actions. So what do you say with your words and actions this day? What do I say with my words and actions? What does our congregation say with our words and our actions? Repentance is the gateway to holiness. Lent is the season where we reflect and we contemplate our walk with Christ. I ask this day, do you need to turn or return to God this day? Now, I encourage you to not put it off, because we don't know how long we have. But what we do know is this. We have that opportunity. Every day that we are blessed with, we have that opportunity. Let's seize that opportunity. Let's take a bite of the fruit of repentance. And let's enjoy it regularly in our Christian walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you know, sometimes it's not always fun and easy to hear that we fall short, but we do. Each of us falls short. And when we do, Father, we are called to return to you by partaking of that fruit of repentance. Father, in the season of Lent, I just ask that each of us is challenged by that fruit. Each of us partakes of that fruit, and each of us doesn't put that fruit away for a whole nother year, but we return to it again on a regular basis as we seek to restore our relationship with you. Father, thank you for sending your Son as the vine dresser, as that individual, that God that stood in between and said, wait a minute, there's an opportunity here. And in doing so, provided this opportunity we have today. We give you thanks this Sunday for that opportunity to repent. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who stepped in for us. Amen. As we come to our time of closing hymn this morning, maybe today for the first time you recognize, you know what? I need to turn to Him for the first time. If you haven't turned to Him, don't put it off. Don't put it off for another day. Come to Him right now. Or maybe today that you see that I need to return to Him. I've fallen short. And take this opportunity. I'll be down front this morning. If you're watching online, if there's a time you want to talk to me this week, please don't hesitate to. But whatever the decision is made, whatever you need to make today, don't put it off, because the opportunity lies in front of us. Let's seize it, and let's enjoy that fruit that He provides for us. If you would, stand to sing our closing hymn with us. restore our relationship with Him. As we leave this morning here in the sanctuary, we're going to kind of go out a little bit organized. What I'm going to ask is those that are sitting in this middle section, if y'all will depart first following the benediction, and then I'll ask the organ side, then if you will walk out, and then last but not least, the piano side. If you want to congregate and talk, I encourage you to go outside. It's gotten a little bit warmer. I promise you that. But please, let's leave in just kind of an orderly process this day. We go out into a world that needs repentance. We have a part in that. Let today be that day for each one of us. And let us go and change the world. Go in peace this day. Amen.